On this edition of the Daily Gator Daily Thought, what in the blue hell is going on our college campuses? Universities were at one time for free speech, for learning new things, for challenging the norm, for challenging ideas, for debate. Now it's a bunch of whiny little leftist totalitarian starter kits trying to dictate to everybody what they can say, can't say, cultural appropriation. Oh my God. It's out of control, folks. Out of control totally. I'm going to try to get some sanity back. Stick with me. And welcome again to the Daily Gator Daily Thoughts. I am still Doug Hagen. Every time I wake up, I'm still myself, which is a good thing. They call it being grounded or something. Being comfortable in your own skin. And a quick little tidbit before we get into the college nuttery going on. I was reading the Daily Caller today. And they had a story about revenge porn. Now, if you don't know what revenge porn is, where have you been? Basically, it's releasing videos, pictures of, generally speaking, I guess the woman is the target. It can be a man. But you release these after the breakup, and it's just not a nice thing to do. So, and a classy person wouldn't do it. But remember, if you don't want pictures or videos of yourself to come out, don't take those kind of videos and don't let those kind of pictures be made of you. And this is a side note. If any revenge porn targets me, I told Selma Hayek not to release those videos. I told Holly Berry not to release the videos. I told Kate Beckinsale. Yes, I know I'm being ridiculous, but leave me my dreams, people. Now, on to the college nuttery. Students might have to call them stormtroopers soon. Students at Columbia University stormed the library. Why did they storm the library? To denounce hate speech. Conservative hate speech, to be specific. Pardon me, about 20 members of the Liberation Coalition at Columbia University stormed the school library to denounce the school for giving a platform to white supremacists by allowing conservative speakers on campus. The protesters also called for decolonization of the curriculum, demanding that professors assign more readings from marginalized people, black people, women of color, trans people. The only people marginalizing black people, women of color, women, trans people, gay people, whoever, the only people victimizing them and marginalizing them, are you crazy leftists? Because you're so wrapped up in identity. If you think your identity or anyone else's comes in who they prefer to sleep with, or their skin color, or their religion, I mean, just stop. You're the people victimizing these people. You're the one embittering them. You're the ones making them angry. Pardon me again. And you're the ones that need to sit down, shut up, and think. Just think. Try it for like 5 minutes. Take Excedrin or Tylenol for any headaches. Now, this group, the Liberation Coalition, isn't it odd that when you have groups called like the Liberation Coalition, they don't really want liberation. They want enslavement to leftism. But there's footage that was filmed by the Columbia Spectator. Shows members of this liberation coalition occupying the library staircase while holding signs proclaiming decolonize Columbia and divest from white supremacy now. Divest from Israel, divest from white supremacy, divest from imaginary racism, divest from reality, basically. One student is yelling, "Dear students, what is anti-black racism? Can any student in this room right now tell me what anti-black racism is? It's too bad I wasn't there. I would have yelled back, it's you. You're the one that's the bigot. You're the one that's the hater. You're the one that's the racist. You're the one that needs serious mental health assistance because you are batshit crazy." The man who's yelling this then goes on to explain what it's meant by decolonize Columbia. Pardon me. He explains that decolonization involves paying attention to what happened in the past, paying attention to the land you're standing on, paying attention to the cultures, the people. Decolonization involves the curriculum, the man says, noting that almost all of the readings are white men, and insisting that professors should assign an equitable amount of literature for marginalized people, black people, women of color, trans people. See, here's the problem. When you look at a book, piece of music, screenplay, whatever it is, and you say, this is no good, this is harmful, simply because a white person did it, guess what? You are a racist. You're no different than someone and say, oh, a black person wrote this, I have no interest. Chinese person wrote it, I don't want to hear it. Gay person wrote it, you're no better. You're a hater, you're a bigot. You're narrow-minded, knuckle-dragging, paint-huffing, glue-sniffing, paste-eating Neanderthal. And that's your good qualities. You're not thinking, you're emoting, and you're making an ass of yourself. So just stop. Well, there is kind of good news, though, because at Syracuse University, Syracuse, remember, they used to be the Orangemen. That was their name, which was kind of stupid. Well, they're like men with bad tans, speaking of our president and former Florida Governor Charlie Crist and other people who have bad tans. But now they're the Orange because Orange Men is sexist. But at Syracuse, there was a now former adjunct professor. He was told he is no longer qualified to teach students. He challenged the response to a recent fraternity scandal by arguing that coddling students does them a disservice. Of course it does, they're adults. Now you're 18, 19, 20 and up. If you're on a college campus, you're an adult. You don't need to be coddled. You need to be told the truth. You need people to be frank with you. You need people to be upfront and honest with you. Stuart Card is the former professor's name. He penned a lengthy statement warning that by encouraging subjective emoting over objective thinking, universities leave students unprepared for economic realities in the real world. Exactly right. What are they going to do the first time they get fired? Or they don't get the promotion? Or they don't get a job? I mean, who out there has not gone to far more job interviews than jobs? I guarantee you, unless you just, well, maybe on your first job interview as a kid, 16, 17, you got the job. Otherwise, people have been turned down a lot more. How many people turn in resumes, job applications, and never hear anything back? Or they get the nice, you're really qualified, we like you a lot, but we're going to move in a different direction, email or letter. It's just the way it is. It's reality. Yeah, you're going to ask people out on dates, and they're going to say no sometimes. Probably more than they're going to accept. You're going to not get promotions. You're going to not get jobs. You're going to not have people want to do things sometimes. It's just life. And by coddling students, that's what we're doing. We're not preparing them for the future. We're preparing them to be perpetual infants. But again, it's all about the left making people angry and bitter, because angry and bitter people don't listen to reason, especially if they're emotionally charged. If you ever try to talk down a really emotional person, good luck. They don't listen. Now, maybe after they've calmed down, they'll say, you know what, you were right, I should have listened. But there's just no use. It's all emotion. That's what's wrong with these students. Now, Card, who is also a practicing engineer entrepreneur, wrote that the time he spent teaching was a net financial loss, but that he cherished the privilege of helping students sharpen their critical thinking skills and prepare themselves to contribute to our world. Critical thinking is so important. It ties in with common sense, with wisdom. Not intelligence. Intelligence is great, but there's a lot of intelligent people who just ain't that bright, folks. I've worked for them, I've worked with them. Very smart. But they don't have the common sense, the wisdom. They can't really think. Everything goes according to plan, or... Now, there was a video at Syracuse of fraternity brothers making disturbing and offensive remarks. This video became public. The campus descended within minutes into an orgy of political correctness, wrote Card. In other words, mob rule. You've seen them, they're marching, they're social justice warriors, going to shut down the campus, take over this, take over that, things like that. Basically being thuggish, being intimidating, trying to intimidate people into silence or into caving into you. Here's a list of demands we're going to give the university president, the university leadership. The best thing that university could do for those students who do that would be to respond very simply, if you don't like it here, you don't have to attend school here. Go find a school that will coddle you, but maybe you shouldn't be here. Stop caving into them. You just encourage them. And again, they are like bullies. And if you encourage a bully, what happens? They bully you more. They bully other people. And they become harder and harder to confront, harder and harder to control, and harder to make change their ways. Now, the fraternity, they got in trouble with this video, claims that the video captured a satirical skit and did not represent its members' views, but this was largely ignored. Don't they know you can't do satire anymore? I'm surprised there's any stand-up comics or any comedy shows on anywhere anymore. Satire is dead. Mel Brooks said it. Blazing Saddles, one of the greatest, funniest movies of all time. Denounced racism, denounced sexism in that movie. Great movie, funny. He couldn't make that today. Couldn't be made. That's why I really want liberals, real liberals, to speak up. Not leftists, liberals. There's a difference. Liberals, I disagree with on many things, but they can actually debate things. They can talk without calling you Nazi or fascist or accusing you of all types of things, which are horrible. They actually like intelligence. They like learning. They're actually liberal, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. Remember, Jefferson, Madison, Franklin, they were liberals in their time. The founders were liberals. They would never be called liberal today. Ideologies, or names for ideologies, change over time. They just do. And now the problem with liberals is there's so few of them. Most people that are called liberal today are actually leftists. And leftists do not do debate. They do thuggery, they do intimidation, they do bullying, they do name-calling, they do mudslinging, they do character assassination, and they do false narratives. But they don't do the truth, and they don't do any type of debate because they don't want to. But for every Professor Card that is no longer at Syracuse, you have professors like this. At Marquette University, a professor recently gave a lecture at St. Olaf College in Minnesota, where she declared that the ultra-capitalist radical right uses liberal rights abstractions to perpetuate capitalist violence. I bet she stayed up all night and had way too many Starbucks mocha cappa frappuccinos or something, coming up with this gobbledygook language, trying to make herself sound intelligent, which she isn't. Her name is Jody Melamed. She argues that liberal notions of individual liberties and free markets are problematic because capitalism requires inequality, while racism enshrines the inequality that capitalism requires. So capitalism is, by extension, racist. Well, what is it said about capitalism? It's not that great. Somebody said it's not a great economic system, but it's by far better than anything else out there, or words to that effect. Capitalism works, and yes, there is inequality under capitalism. I do these podcasts. I do a blog. Certain people who do podcasts probably have better listenerships than I do. Maybe their content stinks. Maybe they're not all that bright. Maybe their blog isn't as good as mine. But there's inequality. They have better marketing skills than I do, or they have a more type A personality than I do, or they have opportunities to work longer and harder than I do because of time constraints. There's inequality. You ever been to a job interview where there's other people interviewing? Guess what? Every job, somebody gets that job. And it's not always the smartest. It's not always the most qualified or most experienced. Other factors come in. A lot of people were very good looking get jobs. I'm sure this is, it's human nature, or part of human nature. But there's the other edge to that sword is what? A lot of really good looking people might not get hired because you've got a guy there, a boss, maybe in his 40s. He sees this young, attractive woman and he doesn't want to work with her because he just can't handle working with a really attractive woman. There'll be too much temptation. He might give the job to someone else. There's biases and inequality everywhere. Inequality is part of life. Now, there's equality of opportunity, which is wonderful. But there is no level playing field. That's a myth. The playing field may be level. Now, football field's level. Baseball fields, most of them anyway. But there's better athletes. There's better players. There's better coaches. There's inequality everywhere. It's part of life. And yes, there is inequality in capitalism. And the left obsesses over equality, but look at Venezuela. Look at communist countries who have, quote, equality. Sure, they've got equality. Equality of destitution, equality of poverty, equality of misery, equality of starvation, imprisonment, and equality of having absolutely no rights, equality of being enslaved to the state, to the government. But they're equal. Whenever people call for equality, when the leftist does, excuse me, what they mean is they want the government to cap everything. Income redistribution. Everyone make the same amount of money. Everyone have the same amount of money. Everything's equal. When you empower the government to do that, you have surrendered your liberty. Because for government to be powerful enough to do that, that government is automatically going to be powerful enough to take everything away. And yeah, there's still going to be inequality because the government those people making all the decisions, they aren't going to be standing in line for toilet paper with you like they do in Venezuela. No, no, no. They're going to be calling your shots. They're going to be living quite comfortably, having lavish parties while you're starving. That's your equality that so many people want. This doesn't work. And when you start attacking individual liberties, free speech, property rights, because they stand in the way of equality. Well, Milton Friedman said it. You can have liberty or you can have equality. You cannot have both. And anyone with a functioning brain who thinks, reads history, understands that having liberty trumps having, quote, equality. Because equality is really just another word for enslavement to the government. Now, there's another thing. This really bothers me, this cultural appropriation stuff. Fraternities are being attacked for cultural appropriation. Student senators at the University of Washington, Seattle, introduced legislation that would require Greek organizations, aka fraternities, to formally establish preventative strategies for eliminating acts of cultural appropriation. The review process the resolution seeks to implement would ask frats to consider whether their festivities further promote stereotypes of a minority group. Notice it's okay to stereotype a majority group. It's okay to stereotype certain groups, which completely belies the stated purpose of treating everyone the same. It's idiotic. Cultural appropriation. I mean, my last name is Hagen. It's Irish. I have Irish in me, Irish ancestors. I have Scottish ancestors. So does that mean that someone who isn't Scottish or Irish extraction, drinking Scotch or Irish whiskey, is somehow appropriating my culture? What about someone who's drinking bourbon? I'm a Southerner. I love bourbon. I love barbecue. Does that mean that someone who opens a restaurant in, I don't know, some godforsaken place like Minnesota or Wisconsin? I'm just kidding. Wisconsin's a great state. And Minnesota is, well, it's not Canada, I guess. Or maybe we just haven't told Canada yet that Minnesota is actually part of their country. They would be heartbroken. But does that mean someone opens a barbecue place somewhere else, maybe in New York? Like they know a damn thing about barbecue there. Or Minnesota or somewhere else. Does that mean they're appropriating my culture? Who cares? Is the food good? Great. We all borrow from each other. Remember, America is a what? Is a melting pot. The great divide between left and right on the melting pot is this. The left says melting pot. It means that everybody in the pool, but everyone stays their own identity. It's all about identities. You don't make chili that way. My chili is like America. I may have given this example before. I'm getting hungry now. But when I make my chili, I do the ground sirloin. I do the beef sausage. I do red and yellow onions, garlic, olive oil. I throw these things in. I've got my different types of beans. I put corn in my chili. You don't like it too bad. It's phenomenal. I put my spices. Maybe I put some jalapenos in there. Maybe not. Depends on who's going to be eating it. Some people like it spicier than others. But after everything's in, it simmers. It simmers. It's a melting pot. E pluribus unum means what? It's one of our big national mottos. E pluribus unum. It's on our money. As Dennis Prager pointed out years ago, you want to understand America? Look at a coin. Look at the money. In God we trust. Liberty. And E pluribus unum. Out of many, one. It's about assimilating. Everything comes together. in a chili or other types of foods. Lasagna is another great example. But that's what America's about. The left sees as everyone should stay separate, have all these little groups. There's no unity there. There's no strength there. That's why I say the issue with immigration, people go in all different directions about it. The core thing is this. Ultimately, immigration is about national sovereignty. Immigration without assimilation is national suicide. It's just a matter of how soon the national suicide will happen or how long it takes. If you don't believe me, ask Europe. Ask Europe. Because they have had immigration without assimilation for a long time. What's happening to them? But back to this story from campus reform, by the way, about cultural appropriation. The resolution in support for a more culturally aware Greek community would mandate that Greek organizations formally establish preventative strategies for eliminating acts of cultural appropriation on campus. The legislation was drafted by Cassie Sigwa, a UW senior and a lead lobbyist. The lobbyist word. For the UW Pacific Islander Student Commission. Again, she's obsessed with her background, her identity from a racial standpoint. I don't, good for her, great. There's nothing wrong with being proud of it. But it can't become everything you are. Because if you allow that to happen, you're going to be a giant pain in all the normal people's asses. Can you imagine me as head of a college? Because I would tell the kids this. It would be fun, folks. They'd probably burn the building down with me in it. In an interview with Campus Reform, Sigwa said the bill is necessary because many mainstream celebrations further perpetuate stereotypes minority groups have to face, adding that they contribute to the harm that minority students face on campus. Again, you're all victims. Victim, victim, victim. I'm a victim. He's a victim. She's a victim, too. I'm a victim. We're victims. Wouldn't you like to be a victim, too? It's like the old Dr. Pepper jingle. She continued that when fraternity members commit a cultural appropriation, the meaning of the objects that are so sacred to students' cultural heritage become obscured or tainted. Elements simply become a mainstream fashion or festivity that you can celebrate. Well, I'm Irish, as I said, from extraction, and look what they've done to St. Patrick's Day, right? And I'm Irish, or my ancestors were, so I really don't care. Just give me a beer, and don't pinch me too hard, unless you're cute, lassie. See, that would get me in trouble now. I'm being a sexist. Now I'm objectifying women. Objectifying females. Which, of course, I'm not. I'm being a guy, and actually, I'm joking. Isn't it funny, the left used to be the creative people, the comedians, the musicians, the ones that Che Guevara didn't kill, of course. But today, those people are really, in a way, the biggest targets of this. And that may be a way that people who are liberal but are comics or actors really start to say, hey, enough. Enough. Just enough. It's time for people to get their sense of humor back. And I'd like to close with a guy who's just a smart guy. Seems to be very popular. Everyone likes the guy. He's well-spoken, eloquent. Seems like a really good guy. Mike Rowe, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. But he addressed our educational systems problems. This comes from the Daily Caller, by the way. There was a reader who accused Rowe of belittling the benefits of college. saying higher education is indeed under attack, but it's not from him. The comments were in response to a reader who questioned if Roe's intent was to make those who choose college to feel ashamed, lazy, and brainwashed, and said that he is supplying more ammunition to those attacking higher education after he posted an article that dared to question the wisdom of a four-year degree. Well, I'm not sure what Roe said exactly, but he's right. I've talked to a lot of people who say they get resumes from people, college graduates, they got this degree, that degree, but they're idiots. They have no ability to think. They have no ability to deal with any real situations. Again, the snowflake thing, the coddling them. It's an extreme disservice to young people. But Roe responded with this. He said, "You're right. Our country's educational system is indeed under attack, but the attack is from within, and the wounds are self-inflicted. The hypocrisy in our education system is rank, the bias undeniable, the disrespect for a flag ubiquitous, and the entire safe space mentality, the exact opposite of what life is like in the real world." Bravo. He continued, "Higher education has created its own PR nightmare. Is it any wonder parents are trying to figure out if their kids should be sent into such a lopsided environment? Is it any wonder reasonable people are beginning to question the value of a four-year degree? Hell, everyone has one now. It's meaningless. And unlike a real education, you can be stupid and have a four-year degree." Roe continued, "Tuition has increased at 2.5 times the rate of inflation. Nothing else this important has ever done that. Not real estate, energy, food, even health care. The question is why? Is the quality of education 2.5 times better than it was 30 years ago? No. Are universities turning out more graduates? No. 50% of those who enroll don't even graduate. Do people have more disposable income today than they used to? Of course not. No," he continued, "universities have been able to raise their prices partly because too many parents believe that anything less than a four-year degree will doom their kids to a less productive existence, and partly because we've pressured millions of kids to borrow whatever it takes from a bottomless pool of unlimited money that doesn't really exist. To answer your question, Don, no, my intent is not to make those who choose college feel ashamed, lazy, or brainwashed. My intent is to remind people that a university is not the only place to enrich your mind or prepare yourself for the real world. Nor is it necessarily the best place. It's merely the most expensive." He also did point out that the University of Utah has installed a cry closet. Uh-huh. Yes, a cry closet. For students who are stressed out over finals. And Fresno State professor Ron Najjar, who looks a lot like Jabba the Hutt. Her last name may be Jabba, I don't know. I'm not a Star Wars fan, but I've seen Jabba the Hutt, and Jabba the Hutt is actually more attractive physically than Ron Najjar. And when she opens her mouth, she gets even more hideous. but remember, after Barbara Bush passed away, Jar called her a witch and a racist on the day she died, then celebrated and posted that she was dancing on her grave figuratively. And then, of course, she went on to say that her tenured position meant that she could speak without fear or consequence. Actually, it's the First Amendment that people that you hate, like the founders, enshrined for you. They didn't give it to you because those are natural rights from God. Jabba the Hutt. It wasn't your tenured position, it was those guys and the Lord above that you don't believe in. That's who gave you the rights. The founders protected that right. And yes, I want you to speak. I don't think you should be teaching kids. I think you're a hateful, evil person. But I want you to speak your mind and be heard because I want America to hear people like Mike Rowe speak, people like me speak, and people like you speak, Miss Jabba. And I want you to be heard clearly for the bottom feeding, disgusting, despicable, deplorable bigot that you are. The only difference between you and a Klansman, frankly, is, well, they actually dress better, and you haven't been to a white sale, apparently. You're no difference. If you put on one of their stupid dunce caps and burnt crosses in people's yards, you wouldn't be any more disgusting than you are right now. But keep talking, because everyone in America needs to hear what the left is about. That's also, by the way, why I don't want Joy Reid fired from MSNBS. She's in trouble for some old blog posts that, of course, she was hacked. I was hacked. No, you are a hack, Joy. But things that her guests say on her show, the things that she says on a daily basis, just YouTube her and pick a segment. Pick a show, pick a day that she's on, and she says worse, more despicable things than her blog post that she claims she didn't do. Now she says she may have done it. I forgot doing them. I don't know if I did them or not. You know, I might not remember a specific post. I've been doing this over 10 years. I've been writing columns and sharing my opinion of over 20. I might not remember a specific one, but if you give me the language from it, so I'd say, yeah, I would say something like that. So that's a flimsy excuse, but I don't want Joy Reid fired. I want her hate to be exposed. Freedom of speech is a wonderful thing. The left wants it gone because they can A, hide what they really say and feel, and B, they can shut us up. Well, guess what? I'm not shutting up. I don't care what Jabba the Hutt says. I don't care what Joy Reid said. I don't care what Al Not Too Sharpton says. I don't care what Hillary, it was my turn, I deserved it, Clinton says. What I care about is this country. What I care about is that colleges go back to educating. And by the way, you want the cost of college to go down? Get government loans out of the picture. If students had to go to a bank and get a loan, the price wouldn't be that high. Again, the private sector works better than the government sector. Just the way it is. That's just reality. For me, I'm done. I'm finito, benito. I'm out of here. Good night. God bless. I appreciate all your listening, your patronage of the blog. And again, remember, like I said in the beginning, if you see any revenge porn of me, remember, I told Selma Hayek and Kate Beckinsale and Holly Berry not to release those tapes. I guess they're just being meanies. Good night. God bless. If you're left, you just ain't right. And as always, go Gators. Take care, my friends. Talk again soon.